Hello everyone, welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I thank God for what He's doing. And I want to tell you up front, newlivingletters.com. Check it out. Everything on the website is free. And I made a page for my father, Reverend Thurston Edison Hamby. And I thank God for that. But check it out. God is moving, folks, by His Spirit. He's doing something wonderful. You need to get in on it. You need to get in on it. God is moving. Now, I'm going to continue with the good heart. Many people have a good heart, and I want everybody to understand that you can have a good heart. If you've been wounded, the Lord told me this years ago, that the enemy takes, he enters our life to hinder it through three avenues. First, our weaknesses. Second, our hurts. And then three, our fears. These are three things that you could, if the Word of God will help you master all three. If you have a weakness, the enemy is going to try to capitalize on that weakness and rule your life with your weakness. Everything that God said don't do, make sure you don't do it. Make sure you don't even want to do it. When you receive the love of God in you with the intent to live like Jesus, when you receive His love, you have the power to undo everything that the enemy started. And sometimes he started this crap generations ago. See, your weaknesses. What were your parents' weaknesses? What were your grandparents' weaknesses? If they were easily offended, and you find yourself easily offended, you can take that to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm easily offended. You know, you can cast your cares to the Lord, and He'll take that burden from you. Now, how will He do that? He's going to give you His Word. He's going to speak His Word. If you receive His Word, you can overcome every problem. It can be lust. It can be addiction. I don't get moved by what people are actually doing. But if they get the word, they can conquer. Now, the reason corruption was sown into the lives of not only them people, but their lineage, their parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, friends. All these things, the bombardment of the world system, it stifles you from life. It hinders you from desiring the things of God. And it's contrary. When you hear the truth of God's word, it's hard to receive it if you're restricted. The enemy, there's a real devil out there that you can't see. And he, as you begin to endeavor to learn of God and know God, he always sends distractions. You know, That's how he dragged people to hell. If he can get you to not believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior and get you not to receive His word, then how can you get life? How can you enter into life? See, all of us have sinned. We don't deserve heaven in the first place. That's why we have to believe on Jesus in order to become the children of God again. We're born fallen. Now, little children, the Lord, they're in the kingdom of God when they reach the age of understanding, the age of what people say the accountability. That's an age where they understand sin. Then they got to get saved, and don't wait, don't leave it up to your children. Teach them about Jesus. Your children need to see you praying and seeking the Lord and going to church, a good one. I'm talking about a godly church, not an Antichrist church, not a church where there's misery, strife, and confusion. But I'm talking about people that really love Jesus. and they walked the line. Not a modern day new age church either that let anything fly. I'm talking about a church that love God and they seek to live according to the living love of God. We have to do two things as the people of God. We don't just receive salvation. We reject darkness. We don't just receive light. We receive the light and then we turn around and reject darkness. And as we grow in the things of God, we reject the things that hold us back, the things that made us weak, and the people that hurt us. That's another problem. People that's been hurt and wounded. Women that were raped by people in the family or people they trusted or friends or whatever. The enemy, he attacked their mind, make them think, hey, you're no good. The devil's lying. He's trying to steal what God put in you. So the way you overcome that, you believe on Jesus, but you do what he said. You forgive all the people that hurt you. Now that, you know, the worldly mind would say, well, I want revenge. Vengeance belongs to God. You forgive the person and the enemy that's behind it. That's where your revenge goes. Always forgive the thief, the murderer, the rapist, whoever. Why would you say forgive them? They offended me. I'm sure they did. But that's how you heal. Everything that Jesus taught, if you receive his word, you'll be able to live just like him. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Do you know God was ready to wipe out the people? Jesus had to do that. He didn't just forgive the, Pilate wanted to let him go, but Pilate got forgiven. The Pharisees were behind all this, but Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. People are so, Satan has influence over so many people, and they don't even realize it. They focus on one part of life. And they do damage. So God forgave us for the sins we did. We need to forgive everybody who sinned against us. And then don't think that you're not protected. God protects his own. There are angels around you. Now, when people don't know this, they can't use it. There are angels to protect your life. When your children go to school, send the angels with them. Command the angels to protect your children and teach your children to be respectful. Teach your children God's ways. See, God got a protocol. You just got to find it and believe it and receive it. A good heart will do that. Receiving God's word takes adjustments. You can't use the mind of the world or society and then know God. You got to receive what God is saying himself. And again, the word, I've heard people say this, they don't know what they're talking about. They say that Bible will brainwash you. No, the Bible can't brainwash anybody. Because what the Lord do, he present you with light. He present you with truth. He present you with his life, his ways. And they make sense. Because James said that the ways, is first pure. Peaceable, easy to be entreated. You can see it. Then you have to use your faith and receive it and believe it enough to act on it. Then it works in your life in that order. And see, your will is always included. But with the world give you a lie and it seduces you and then it controls your will. The devil will brainwash you. When people are indoctrinated, they don't think anymore. That's why they do foolish things. Indoctrinated people will go along with their indoctrination until they receive and believe and act on more light. And so that's what we're going to show you now. Now I'm going to do a lot of reading in this one. And don't forget the website, newlivingletters.com. Let's look at Acts chapter 6. See, when things are moving along and the people of God are doing what they're supposed to and learning, here comes the enemy to stop it. But guess what? The enemy is always defeatable. And you can always defeat the enemy. Acts 6. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in daily ministration. They were feeding the elderly. The church was. Okay, verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, Is it not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables? Excuse me. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So this is where the first deacons came about. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and ministry of the word. Now, you don't hear much about this anymore. This is why the church is not as strong as it could be. So many pastors and ministers don't give themselves over continually to prayer like they're supposed to. And many want to be full time, but they leave prayer off the agenda. It's not going to work right. You got to get your marching orders from God. If your marching orders don't come from God, you're building the house and it can't stand right. Okay, continuing. But if you get your marching orders from God, your agenda from God, it got to work. It always does and it always will. That's for those who have ears to hear. Verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Stephen. And Philip. And Prochorus. And Nicanor. And Timon. And Parmenas. And Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. When they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, see, empowering them, anointing them. And the word of God increased. See, when you do God's will, when you do God's will and his word, an increase always happens. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied, and Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith, even the priest. That's amazing all by itself. Now watch what happens. None of this is without a fight, but great victory is coming. Verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertarians and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which they spake. I love that part. Verse 11. Then they suborned men, which said, we have heard them speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. Okay, so they paid liars. All right, verse 12. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. Now, he was lied upon. The enemy sent somebody to lie against him. This is why when God give you an assignment, bless it and protect it. Tell Satan what he can't do ahead of time. Okay, continue. All right, read that again. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place, and the law. And we have heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Now the glory of God is upon Stephen. But the hardness of the heart was so terrible. Watch what happens next. The next chapter is chapter 7. Then said the high priest, are these things so? Now, in verse 2, Stephen starts speaking. And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into a land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. From there, when his father was dead, he removed him into his land wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. He's talking about the promised land. Verse 6, And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn on a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. This is very important to know because it happened, just like he said. Verse 7, And the nation whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, saith God. And after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the twelve patriarchs. And the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. And delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dearth. A dearth is a drought. And there came a dearth, a drought, over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known to Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father, Jacob, to him, and all his kindred, 75 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers. We were carried over into Sychem and laid in the sepulchre of Abraham. Abraham brought forth some of mighty the sons of Emor, the fathers of Shechem. But when the time of the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose which knew not Joseph. The same dwelt subtly with our kindred, and evilly entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end that they might not live. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full of 40 years old, it came to his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him, and was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did this, his neighbor wrong, thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou did kill the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian. And there he begat 2 sons. See, you can't do things. I'm pausing between 29 and 30. You can't do things in your own strength. You got to do it God's protocol. When Moses killed the Egyptian, he broke protocol. The Lord has to do, he didn't know that the people had such a slave mentality, they weren't going to follow him. Not out of Egypt. Not that way. God had to do this thing. And that's something for all of us preachers. We got to learn to follow God's protocol. You can't bank on tradition anymore. Not now. Too much information that's been given. You're going to have to do whatever you do with a good and honest heart. You got to receive that word in you and do what God has given you. The methods, the way, the timing, the places, everything God will reveal. Okay, continuing with verse 30. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. And when Moses saw it, he wondered at it, at the sight. And as he drew near to it, behold it, the voice of the Lord came to him. Now we're getting down to business. Verse 32, saying, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and I am come down to deliver them. And now, come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made thee ruler and a judge, the same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in a bush. He brought them out. After that, he had showed him wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. So this Moses, which said to the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him shall ye hear. Now this is Stephen talking still. This is his defense. This is his testimony. Verse 38. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again to Egypt, saying, Aaron, make to us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. See, and watch what happens. And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven. As it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Molech and the star of your God, Remphan, figures which ye made to worship them, and will carry you away. I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacles of witness in the wilderness as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, the Most High dwell not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, do ye always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of the angels, which have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Father, in other words, he said, Father, forgive me, forgive them. I don't hold it against them. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. But they saw the glory of God on his face. And when he saw the vision, they stopped their ears. They didn't want to hear anymore. That's unbelief, folks. Now watch what happened. Saul was consenting to his death. Now this is Pharisee Saul. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made lamentation over him. And Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now watch what happens in chapter 9. After he heard the word, he was still acting crazy. This is why we need to forgive. Stephen forgave him. Now watch what happened in Acts 9. And we'll close with this and pick it up next time. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and the slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues. And he found that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would thou have me do? Now he is submitted to Jesus from the time he called him Lord. Hear me good now. In Acts 9, verse 5, and he said, Who art thou, Lord? After this, he was a changed man. And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men that journeyed with him, and the men which journeyed with him, stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Now, in other words, he received the word in a good heart, and God was able to work with him beyond his foolishness. This is why, see, sometimes the people we forgive, the enemy's not just trying to mess up your life. He's trying to mess up their life, too. If he can get people to go into any form of despair and look at a problem bigger than God, then that destiny, Satan don't have to worry about it. That's why he get men to rape women and women to feel like they're worthless. But the Lord will give you all your life back. He'll give you back the years that the canker worm ate. Hear me good. Because in a good heart, good hearts, people have all kind of things happen to people that happen to have a good heart. Consider these things, because what is God building in you? Don't give up. If you choose the life of God, you can have the life of God. And the Lord will help you and the Holy Spirit will guide you. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our